I'm going to confess something. I was watching a little bit of TV yesterday, and it happened to not be the most enlightening or informative. I wish I could say I was watching Discovery Channel or the History Channel or CNN, but instead, somehow, I came upon one of those entertainment shows, you know, where they tell you all the scoop of Hollywood and the famous people. And, you know, at first, I was tempted to turn the channel, but then, you know, I kind of wanted to listen, you know, I wanted to see what all these people were up to, you know, I feel guilty. I was like sucked in. But anyway, the discussion happened to be about photographers and how much they will pay, okay, to have the exclusive rights to take pictures of babies, all right? And this photographer was being interviewed, and apparently, like, the Kardashian baby is a pretty hot item right now, and of course, is it Beyonce? No, who else is pregnant? Somebody else is pregnant. Anyways, and apparently there are many babies that you know, people will pay millions of dollars to take their picture. Now, mind you, they've done nothing other than be born to this famous Hollywood star, but apparently, you know, worthy of millions of dollars to mark the event, okay? The hottest baby to be photographed, you probably are wondering where I'm going with this, but I do have a point. The hottest baby, okay, to be taken a picture of coming up this summer, does anybody know who it might be? Kate Middleton's child, right? I mean, in the news, apparently now you can see her little baby bump, so everybody's all excited. But anyway, they even asked the photographer, this is hysterical. They said the new fad is not only to take a picture of the newly born baby, okay, but that they're also trying to get sonogram pictures so they can put them in the magazines. And I was like, are you serious? And apparently they asked him if he had the exclusive opportunity to have the sonogram picture of Kate Middleton's baby, what would that be worth? And the photographer went, I think it's priceless. I was like, are you serious? Like, I just could not believe this show. Like, I was, anyway. All right. Well, speaking about the King of England and the Queen of England and how you become king and queen, does anybody know how it works? The Queen of England right now is, of course, Queen Elizabeth, and her husband is Prince Philip. Now, many of you might be asking, well, why is he not king? I mean, he's married to the queen, right? Okay. It has to do with your birth order and your lineage, okay? So the queen is the queen. Now, who would be next in line? Who knows? Charles! And who after Charles? William, right? Who is his eldest born son, right? And then who would be king after William?
Harry.
Not Harry. There is a baby in the womb of Kate Middleton that will be the next king or queen, okay? That's why this baby sonogram picture is so worthy of millions of dollars, okay? Because this is the future king or queen of, you know, our area. Now, the only way Harry could become king, okay, is if something happened to Charles and something happened to William and something happened to Kate's son or daughter. Kate will never be queen. Prince Philip will never be king. And none of Charles' siblings will ever be king or queen. Neither will any of Harry or Harry's relatives ever be king or queen. And neither will any other babies that Kate and William might have. Now, I started to think about this a little bit. My sister and I had sort of a rally about it because we're the second and third kids. We feel like Harry a little bit, you know what I mean? Like, we're gypped, you know? And what about, doesn't Charles have a couple of siblings, like Andrew and somebody else? I mean, what's wrong with them? Like, they've got royal lineage and blood, and some of them are even male, and they're not going to get the right, you know what I mean? They're not ever, ever going to be king or queen. Why not? Well, I started to look to scripture about this, and I'll tell you, it got me even more upset. Because if you go back, I mean, I really did. I thought I was going to be, like, at peace about it. But no, I mean, I was mad. Because if you go into the Old Testament, right, and you start reading about the law, guess who you have to be to get the right of your parents' blessing? A blessing. The oldest, and not only the oldest, but the oldest male. Okay, that's what caused me to be a little bit irritated, okay? Because not only if I had been my sister and been born first, okay, I still would have no value for the blessing because I happen to be a female. Now, what is wrong with that? Like, seriously. So here's me last night. You know, I should have been worrying about my dad and praying for him and consoling my mother. And instead, I'm in the depths of the Old Testament, infuriated with the Lord. I wasn't the only one upset about the blessing, because if you read Jacob and Esau, it's one of the most famous stories of all in the Old Testament. Apparently Esau really wanted to get the blessing. Jacob really wanted to get the blessing, and Esau didn't want it. He didn't want it. How could you not want this blessing? You're the firstborn son, right? I mean, that's exciting. But Esau did not want it. So Jacob uses deception, motivated by his mother, a female, by the way, to receive his father Isaac's blessing that was inherently due to the firstborn Esau, had Esau not sold it to his brother. Wow. So Jacob pretends to be Esau. You remember how he did it? He put stuff on his arm because his brother was a little bit more hairy. So he put stuff on his arm. And, you know, Isaac was nearing his death and couldn't really see. And so he touched the arm and it felt like Esau, right? And he gets the blessing. Now, you might wonder where the heck I'm going with all of this, right? Dominique's like, yes, get to the point. Okay. Jesus is here at the temple, right? With his mom and dad. He's 8 days old. According to Jewish law, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy unto the Lord. Wait a minute. Hold on. Didn't Jesus come to, like, save us from our sin and save us from our birth order and save us from our sex limitations? Apparently, being a female is not as worthy as being a male. I mean, come on. Designated as holy to the Lord, you had to be the firstborn male. Now, the Pushko men are back there. Which one of you is first? Have you noticed any difference in your life because, you know what I mean, because of this, right? I mean, not to pick on you guys or anything, but even if you're twins, right, there's still one firstborn male, okay? I was irritated about this too. Like, I was irritated a lot last night. Anyway, but here's the good news. If you really study the scriptures about Jesus, he had to fulfill the law. What does that mean, you might be asking me? Why is that important, right? Fulfill the law? What's that? Well, he was a Jewish male, born to faithful and devout parents who worshiped the God who was holy in the temple. He could not abolish the law and say it was irrelevant. He had to fulfill the law. He was the firstborn male, and he was blessed, but not really. Who did Simeon bless? Did you read the passage? The mom and dad. The mom, who is a woman, got the blessing of God. And Father Joseph, who, as we know from the story, was not the biological father of Jesus, the adopted father, were blessed by Simeon. And this firstborn son did not grow up to a life of easy living. He went on to give his life for us. Simeon had been waiting a long time. Did you hear what the Bible said about Simeon? It said that he was going to live until he could see the Messiah. And the Holy Spirit kind of nudged him. We've been talking a lot about the Holy Spirit. I don't know who I was talking about lately about it. But, you know, the Holy Spirit kind of sits right here. And then, of course, you know who sits here. So the Holy Spirit was nudging Simeon. Yep, you know, go to the temple, go to the temple, go to the temple. So he walks in. He comes in, and here comes Mary and Joseph with their 8-day-old baby, right? And Simeon sees this baby and holds the baby. And he sings a song of praise to the Lord, saying that he has seen the salvation of God and that he can pass away now in peace. Simeon warns Mary and Joseph that the child who marks the presence of salvation in their midst will also cause the falling and rising of many. This rising and falling, in case you're wondering, is not going to be an overturn of the war of the world or an economic overturn or even a natural disaster. Instead, it will be an overcoming of the human heart and soul. For we shall see salvation. I'm going to close with a story. You know, I like them. But there was a story by Robert Coleman. He's a famous man who writes about little kids. And he wrote a story of a little boy whose sister needed a blood transfusion. Have you heard this story? You might have heard it. It's cute. It's sad, but it's cute. The doctor explained that his sister had the same disease that this boy had had, which he had recovered from 2 years prior, and that her only chance for a recovery was to receive a transfusion from someone who had had the same disease and conquered it. So since the two children had the same rare blood type and the boy was her brother, he was the ideal donor. "Would you give your blood to Mary?" the doctor asked the little boy. And Johnny hesitated. His lower lip started to quiver. And then he smiled and said, "Sure, for my sister." Soon the two children were wheeled into the hospital room, and Mary pale and thin, Johnny robust and healthy, and neither spoke. But when their eyes met, Johnny grinned. And as the nurse inserted the needle into the boy's arm, Johnny's smile began to fade, and he watched the blood flow from the tube from himself into his sister. And when the ordeal was almost over, his voice slightly shaky, breaking the silence, said to the doctor, "Doc, when will I die?" Only then did the doctor realize why Johnny had hesitated, why his lip had trembled when he agreed to donate his blood, for he had thought that by giving his blood to his sister, it meant that he would give up his life. In that brief moment, and here's the critical word of today, he'd made his great decision. And Johnny, fortunately, didn't have to die to save his sister. But each of us inside of ourselves have a condition more serious than being not the firstborn male, not even being a female, not even being the secondborn male. We have a more serious condition even than Mary in the story, where Jesus is required not to give just his blood, but his life, that we might be dedicated and blessed as holy servants of the Lord, for now and forevermore. Amen.
I I invite you to stand and join me in singing our closing hymn, Open My Eyes That I May See.